Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Bill Goldberg. Welcome back. You guys have been busy, been traveling, been kind of running around.
Yeah, I'm still not shaking off that 4 o'clock wake up to get out of Bristol, Tennessee on Monday to get engaged to school, no less. So it's been fun, man. We had a good time away. You know, lots went on, but I don't even know where to begin.
So. Well, start with Bristol. You guys were kind of, I don't know if it was kind of a last minute invitation or what, how that kind of came to be, but you guys were wheels up pretty quick and went out to the race, right?
No, I mean, I don't overly promote anything. We've been doing that Bristol thing for a long time, and that driver introduction thing was in the works for months. But this has been so much going on, but all good stuff. So. We went out there. It'd been a long time since I've taken Gage. I guess a little backstory is that Justin Nunley, right? So you saw that stuff online.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wasn't familiar with who he was either until you said who.
Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, like I said, we're not the younger generation that, you know, spend most of our days on the internet. But so we had some interaction going back and forth. That was fun. And, you know, dandy, and it was going to culminate at Bristol. And let's just say at the end of the day, all the ducks were not in a row as far as clearance and as far as lawyers were concerned. So in the case of someone getting physically damaged beyond, repair, we couldn't deliver what we wanted to deliver, but it was all fun, man. We had a great time. I met him. Thank you for your service, Justin. That's actually the only thing that saved you. but it was cool. We had a big deal planned with Gage. It was a scripted, you know, WWE gimmick, man. So I mean, it was we weren't able to deliver in the end, but the day was freaking awesome. Being able to introduce the drivers again and have Gage there, you know, 6 years removed from the last time. And the race was killer. It had been a long time since we'd been to NASCAR. It was great to see the King. I just got a text from Kyle. I got to send his son a freaking Goldberg monster truck. So it was cool, man. We had a great time. I didn't get to see everybody that I wanted to see, but, you know, there you go. See, I gave him a little bit of you have to have repercussions for your actions. That's what I'm saying, right? So – he kind of made fun of me all week. And so that was what we were able to deliver. It was going to be much more physical than that. But, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, I got to meet some good people. He serves in the Air Force currently. And so we had to spare his life. That segment was brought to you by...
Bravago, I see it.
Bravago. drinking at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
That's how I'm trying to wake up from that early flight. But
I'm not sure it's the right wake-up drink. But
it's not the right wake-up drink at all, but, you know, a shameless promotion. But we had a great time. We had a shitload to pack in a very short period of time. Food City 500, man. To have a sponsor associated with any – major sport like that for 37 years. I mean, that's pretty strong, dude. That was really cool. And to get to see, it's like coming home, I said, you know, because I've seen those people, the same people for 15 years, 20 years there. And it was good to do the trackside live. It was just great to hang out with Chase, you know, in the driver's meetings and see Austin and see Ty and see Logano and everybody. I mean, it just wasn't enough time. Hagen was there. I think I saw Hagen for like 6 seconds, right as I was walking out of the driver's meeting. But
I saw something that Matt Hagen was going to be, you know,
he was there, but you know, he popped in and popped out.
Yeah,
it was fun. We had a great time, man. NASCAR has always welcomed us with open arms and allowed us to do like anything. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
And
Like coming home.
I believe this weekend is Pomona's NHRA at Pomona, so I'm not sure if I'm going to make it out to that. Just
Well, yeah, and I think a Circuit of the Americas. It's NASCAR's right up the road in Austin, and I love NASCAR, man. And it's an hour and a half away, 40 minutes away in a helicopter. But that's the only way I would go to Austin during a race. There's no way.
Yeah, right on. But yeah, the crew's going to be out drag racing. So Hagen's probably going to be out here doing that.
Yeah, those guys are
Yeah, those
flowing
guys are
in.
flying all over the place, traveling all over. Yeah, it's cool. I wanted to also just talk quickly about okay, so first of all, the car cover.
That's
You
not
guys
a
got to
car.
tell.
That's not a car cover.
That's not a
That's
car
a
cover. That's an actual car. What you're showing us on the YouTube video,
that's
that's
a one that's a one of one Demon 170. That's
yeah.
called
So
Green
that
Machine that
the
I
green machine.
actually drove in the rain back from the dealership.
Right, because you ordered two 170s. Barrett, you sold one of them with the two black cars, the 2018 and the 170. But you were still waiting for the green car to come in, which was the special order car with the special paint. Yeah, there it
Yeah, it was I'm trying to contain my excitement, but yeah, it was freaking awesome to be able to come back and last week pick the thing up. Unfortunately, we were filming and it started to rain a bit, so we took the 218 up there to pick up the 170, right?
Yeah.
And the 170's got drag radials on all four corners, and though. Yeah, in the rain on the highway, it was interesting, but it was fun, man. It was fun. That's the point. The point is to show the difference between my ownership of the black pair and the ownership of the green pair. Because I mean, who takes a 218 to go pick up a 223 and they're, number 37, right?
Yeah.
So I've just proven a point that, I got one for investment totally. Those are out of the way. That was awesome. Had a great opportunity. But these are the ones that I can actually not contain myself because of the excitement, because I actually am going to drive the hell out of them, have fun. I don't know the
Yeah.
extent I'm going to drive the 170, but I know I'm going to take it down the track. I know I'm going to have some fun with it because that's what they're for. So.
I want to say that Jeff Dunham, the ventriloquist comedian, he got a 170, and I guess he was hanging out with Dave Salvaggio.
He and Savaggio, yeah, I was going to be a part of that, but my car wasn't in town, right? It wasn't delivered yet. So, yeah, they I it looked like I talked to Mario for a little bit. He went out there and did a little video of the install, I think, of the chute and of the handle. But yeah, it's just giving people an example of the goodies that you can put on the 170 or the goodies that come with the 170 if you order. So.
So like the parachute and stuff were, those are things that Salvaggio was involved with that somehow, right?
Savaggio's involved to an extent, I don't know. I think he provides them for direct connection. That's
Right.
my
So
understanding.
yeah. So he's making them for direct connection. And yeah, like you got pieces.
This piece, for instance, of carbon fiber that makes up part of the rear seat delete. I would imagine he manufactures them, and then
So
you
he,
can offer through.
first of
Your
all,
direct connection.
Jeff Dunham, for those of you guys that don't know, he's been on CarCast in the past. He brought his Batmobile over. It's a wildly popular video on our YouTube channel, on the CarCast YouTube channel. Something like a million people watch that thing. He's a sweetheart of a guy. He's great. He's kind of a nerdy car collector, but is passionate about it. And yeah, he's a Mopar guy as well. And I've been out to his collection. We filmed some stuff there as well. And been out to his show in Vegas. He invited us out to the show in Vegas. Tammy and I went. It was great. We had a great time. I guess he teamed up with Salvaggio. I don't know. I'm sure Salvaggio kind of pitched him on the idea and he loved it. And I don't know. So as much as he is a car guy, I don't know that he's had a lot of like track days. So when the offers came in and go, hey, do you want to go to Irwindale? Bring out your 170. It looks like he did. He got the front wheels off the ground, like launched that thing pretty hard. I sent him an email. I didn't hear back. I'm gonna have to just text him. I'm like, dude, you gotta come in and tell us a little bit about it. What's going on?
Mario's a good coach.
Yeah, I would imagine so because he seemed really excited about the whole process. And so Jeff's put up some videos on his social media channel as well, and you can check that out. But he's got the bright green one. But I think he's got, like you, he's got another car like that. But he might have an original, like a 70 or something like that, car to match the green. But he's got some cool stuff in his collection as well. And he flies helicopters. He was building a helicopter when I was at his garage years ago. There's a way to like build your own helicopter and then get fully like inspected and certified, and you could fly your helicopter.
I hope it's a one person helicopter, because I don't know who in the hell would trust anyone build. I don't know. I mean,
Yeah,
obviously
but
there are people that are qualified to do that, but
yeah, and
any
he's got.
comedian, I couldn't see Carolla building a helicopter and me going up
I probably agree. If Sean in the shop built it for him, then maybe he's his attention to detail and his fabrication skills for sure. And
Leno's a different story.
Leto's a different story for sure. Jeff also collects like vintage Apple computers. He's a little nerdy that way. And then the dummies that he uses on stage when he controls them, there's something sort of like something mechanical happening. So it's not just fingers moving the eyes and mouth. There's some sort of like control board in there that he can use, and he makes them himself. He solders these motherboards, and he 3D prints, designs and 3D prints the dummies and paints them. And
That's awesome.
yeah, he's into it, man. He's all over that. And by the way, as a business guy, if you ever go and see his show live, like we shot in Vegas, the impact of his brand on site, like the presence of just his swag and is he opens for himself.
That's
He's
perfect.
a one-man show. He comes out as Jeff Dunham by himself, and then does a monologue, basically. He does like a bit, and then he brings the dummies out. And I love that about him, because he's like, hey, why pay an opener when I can do it
Exactly.
myself? Yeah, he's
Use the multiplication table instead of paying somebody else.
and it's a great fun show, and he's such a patriot as well. So he's a good dude. Anyway, we're gonna have to try to get him on. The other guy we need to call out, because I sent him a message and haven't heard back, is Mark Trosel. We gotta get Mark on the show. We have to have a discussion about
Dodge.
Dodge, about what's going
Forgot.
on with Dodge. And I don't know if he's listening, but he should be, because Mark, you gotta come back on the show. It's been a while. It's probably been since we did one of the Roadkill Nights episodes from a while back.
Need you
Yeah.
on the podcast. Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize. I've been a little busy and I never reached out to him, but
Yeah, that's all right. We'll see, buddy.
I am right now.
Well, I sent him a message as well, so we'll see what he says about that. But as you're sending that text, in the background, as you're looking at the YouTube video, you got the cars back there, but you just sent me this video of this car cover. I'm gonna bring it up.
So let me preface,
Let
hold
me
on a
see.
second, don't show it. Let me preface it by saying somebody reached out to me from a company and I saw the product and I listened to the name of the product, and it's called Pimp My Cover. And I'm like, man, I don't really know if I'm gonna open this. It sounds a little gimmicky and it looks a little gimmicky, but it's these car covers that emulate the car underneath, or it can emulate any car. It's like a photo print, right? You send them a file and they take the dimensions of the original car and they form fit it and you put the design on. And they can do any kind of vehicle you want, any kind of, you can take a picture of a race car and they can, they must have licensing with these companies to be able to recreate it. But And so I was very skeptical. And extremely long story short, I hooked up with the guys, and you never know, right? So you give everyone a fair shot. So they were gracious enough to send me a cover, and I put it on the Z28. And I have had it on the car for about a month, and I don't tell a soul about it until until it becomes apparent that it's a cover. And I'd say 50% of the people haven't said a word about it because they think it's like the car, the actual car. So you can show it now. And I'm
Yeah.
telling you, I thought these guys were the gimmicky, most gimmicky guys in the world. That's the stereotype that I put to it, right? But after seeing the product and after understanding why they got into the space, they got into the space originally because their buddies evidently were buying these supercars. This was years ago, and the covers were inferior quality that came with them. And so they wanted to build a great quality cover and be form fitting. And so they came up with this product, and I guess the gimmick came later. I mean, we should get the guys on the show at some point, but needless to say, not only are they quality, I mean, they're as quality as the Demon covers that I have that I paid, I don't know, freaking way too much for.
Yeah, right.
But they're cool as hell. I mean, it's funny how you look at it because I can pull the cover up at the car. I mean, it matches so well. It's so well done. I was extremely happy to inform everybody now that, not all products are as they seem in the beginning, because this is a quality deal, man. I wouldn't have it on the car. You know me, I'm not gonna, that's an original, SECA, gnarly race car.
Yeah.
And it's been raced since 70, just like Corolla stuff, right? And so I'm not gonna put a crappy cover on there just because it looks cool. But I love the thing, and I'm nothing but pleased with it. So there you
I
go.
would I know that you said that this kind of was born from some friends of his that had, supercars, bright green Lamborghinis and stuff, so they want a cover car cover to match. But if you take a full like liveried out like racing car, like if you took Adam's Porsche 935 and made a cover for the 935 that looked the same, that could be pretty cool for sure. Because when you do a full racing livery on a cover, that's a lot of work. That's not just like a bright
It
red
is.
Ferrari.
It is, man. But I don't know how much more work it is, graphically, just to add another. I don't think it's any more work. I mean, it's what, the printer,
Well,
right?
it's
So I
the
mean,
printer,
it's
but
a program. You've got
yeah.
to build the program, for all of the sponsors on the side. But my biggest question is, did they have licensing with all the old time sponsors, right? STP,
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that area, but I'm just saying they're cool as shit, and I'm gonna get them to pump one out for one of Adam's cars, and we're gonna show it. I can't wait for the candy. I don't know 100% if I can commit to it, but if they can pull one off for the lawman, oh my God, how cool would that be?
Yeah, the lawman would be cool. But the advantage is the lawman, it's very documented. Like, we got tons of photos and
Oh yeah.
everything.
But the disadvantage is that blower, right? So you're gonna have something stick. I mean,
You
it'll
probably got to have
be,
some measurements for it.
oh, absolutely. But I mean, I guess it's gonna be form fitting to that one, right? It's gonna have to be. It's a
Yes.
big
Yeah, I would think so.
stack sitting up out of the hood. It has to be. Or it's gonna, I don't
I mean,
know.
I guess
One
they
question
could.
I do have also is, if you look, they've done some whale tail Porsches, and I
Yeah.
don't, and that's a tough ask to fill that gap between the tail and the rear bumper
Yeah, right.
without it looking kind of goofy. So,
Well,
you know
that's the thing.
that.
It's like on Adam's 935, that one has a huge wing in the back. But I mean, you could.
We'll see.
For the lawman, you could stitch a hole in it and have the car covered and the blower sticking out of the car cover. But
That's a good idea.
and now you just got to polish the blower every once in a while, because that'll
100%.
but that's a little easier than the whole car. But that could be kind of fun. That could be kind of
It's a
fun
great
too.
idea. It's a great idea. Great idea.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's kind of interesting. Yeah, those guys do a
Gender,
good job.
you're.
They did a nice
Thank you.
piece.
Thank you. Your buddy Kendrick's involved also.
Eric Kendricks?
Yeah.
Eric, yeah,
Yeah.
he was on a while back. He's a football player. He just switched teams. He was out here and he was playing in
Where is
LA.
he? He's not with the Chargers anymore?
No,
No
so
way.
this is what happened. So I just read a little bit about it. Was he was with the Chargers and he made his move out here. And then I guess did a season, was a free agent. I think he signed with the 49ers, and then like a day or two later, I guess there's like a 3-day grace period, he signed with the Cowboys. And
You're kidding. This was
no.
like the last couple of days.
Yes,
This happened.
this is
Oh
like within the
man.
last week. He
I gotta
signed with the
reach out.
Cowboys, and I was trying to figure out like why. And it turns out I think his old coach, no, it wasn't for the money, because they disclosed the money. And it wasn't I mean, listen, he gets paid
You
well, but
never
it
know.
wasn't, yeah. But he said he's somehow it was the money was leaked, but his coach of the last like 10 years or so, I think, on the other team, is at the Cowboys. He's like, nah, I want to go play for him.
Shows his character, man. If
You
that's,
know,
you
he
know,
talked to
that was
him.
the move that he made, good for him.
That's it. He talked to him and he got an invitation from the coach, and he's like, we'd love to have you back. And he's like, one of those things, love you, brother. I'm there. Let's do
I love him too, man, but I still can't be a Cowboys fan. It's just not gonna happen.
it. And I like
It's
Eric,
not
and
gonna
I
happen.
think Eric was
It's
just like
not gonna
settling in
happen.
out here,
No.
and he keeps popping up at all the car shows, brings out his Fox Body Mustang and his
Well, now he's
Porsche, and
only 5 hours from me, so that's cool. I get to
yeah.
see him.
And honestly, I haven't had a chance to chat with him, so I don't know that he's going to be moving permanently, right? Because he's got his house set up here, and he's got a brand new baby, and I don't know what the plan is, but it was all kind of quick.
How long was the contract for?
That's a good question. So, if I recall, it could be, I thought it could be a couple of, it could be 3 years. It could be up to 3 years, but it's like, oh, it's 1 year. There was a signing bonus,
Those.
there was a minimum, and then there was a way to bonus out some extra money. And then I don't know if it was beyond the 1 year. I don't think there was a guarantee beyond the 1 year, so I don't
Hey,
know.
people's choice of where they live when they play for a certain team is completely up to them.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what the quarterback for the Chargers was doing when the Chargers moved from San Diego to LA. He had a big private bus completely customed out and outfitted so that he could make that drive and commute every day. I used to commute to the Rams from San Diego. I mean, it was the same commute.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, at the end of the day, these guys would grab a private jet and be home in 2 hours. It's like Gage is going to University of Colorado, which is in Boulder, which is a 2-hour and 15-minute flight from San Antonio Airport and a 20-minute drive. So, I mean,
Right.
if he's fully entrenched and loves California, it's extremely conceivable that he's just going to get an apartment for the season or a house for the season in Dallas, live in the season, have his family, do whatever, you know. So, I mean,
Yeah, I listen. A buddy of mine had his family. He was a baseball player, played for the Padres, and lived in Arizona. The family was there, and then when he played out here, he just temporarily moved the family out. They rented a condo from a military guy, because they were down in, and the military guy was deployed overseas, and it came up, and I don't know if it was just like a friend of a friend, and they're like, well, let us just rent your condo, and then I'll have the family near me, and I'll play for the
exactly.
season. And then they still had their house in Arizona that they were doing some work on, and that was their home base. And it worked out fine. It was like, it's a few months and a little bit of travel on and off when they want to pop back to Arizona. It
Yeah,
worked
I
out.
mean, they're not two horrible places to travel in between. I mean, Dallas and freaking San Diego. I mean, let's be
Yeah.
honest. And it's a
Yeah,
quick
yeah.
flight.
Okay, so moving on, I want to ask you to tell us about Tim Green. Tim Green was he's a friend of yours, football player, announcer. He's got a podcast going on, but yeah, tell us what's going on there. You were just on the show, is
An
why
old
we kind of
team,
want to plug it.
yeah, an old teammate of mine that I idolized. You know, anybody who played in front of me, I idolized because they were better than I was. I tried to learn from everyone, but you know, the backstory on Tim is he was a valedictorian at Syracuse, which is not what you would think would be the background of a defensive lineman in the NFL, right? We're usually the big, burly, meat-headed dudes who, you know, just you don't want to bring home to your mother. And he was the complete opposite of that. I did a lot of charity work with him throughout the years. Unfortunately, a number of years ago, he fell ill with ALS, and we've kept in contact. And I was fortunate enough to do his podcast the other day. His son, I think, jumped on board and really started this thing for Tim. Tim can't communicate the way he'd like to, and it's extremely frustrating for him. But this is a way for him to get it out, get his thoughts out, share his thoughts with everybody, have old friends on the show, and spread the word about ALS at the end of the day. So it was a wonderful experience. Great to talk to Tim. He's got a great sense of humor. He's like a big brother of mine. I love him exponentially. And like I say, anything that I can do to bring awareness to what he's going through, because there are a lot of people with a lot of relatives that are probably going through the same thing. So thank you very much for mentioning it. I want to get it out there. And everybody who's listening, it's not car related by any stretch of the imagination, except for we do talk about the garage a little bit. But Timmy's a great, great human being. And if you get a second or two of them, please go to the link and listen to a little bit of it and spread the word.
Yeah, so those of you that jump on our YouTube channel and the CarCast channel to watch the podcast, I'll put a link to that interview in the description as
Thank you
well, so you guys can
very
jump
much.
over and see that. Anyway, so yeah, some car stuff. I just wanted to bring this up. This came up the other day, is the Corvette E-Ray is being delivered, which is kind of interesting because the E-Ray, it got announced a long time ago, and then it kind of slipped under the radar, just wasn't getting a lot of the press. When I talked to Alistair at Edmonds, you know, they have the Corvette, they're interested in the Z06, and they didn't order the E-Ray because they just weren't getting like a lot of customer demand going, hey, E-Ray, E-Ray. But I know there's cool things happening with it. I think Lingenfelter has already got the engine out of one. And
Go figure.
seeing how much power they can get out of it. The performance numbers are nuts, right? The E-Ray is the hybrid version that you guys should know about. The V8 in the back, electric motors in the front, all-wheel drive, 655 horsepower, 592 pound-feet of torque. And the 0 to 60 is, I don't know, crazy, like 2.5 seconds, 0 to 60. Somebody got one, they put it on the dyno, and it's rated at 655 horsepower on the dyno. On a four-wheel dyno, they got 573 to the tires, which when
That's
you,
freaking respectable.
yeah, so if you look at something like a 15% drivetrain loss, that's pretty much right on the money.
Yeah.
However, Chevy says 592 pound-feet of torque, and they got 630 at the tires,
That
which
doesn't
means this
surprise
is closer to probably 700. And that's where the electric motors come in. It's really tough to figure out, like, kind of figure out how you rate that, you know, and how, when you put it on the dyno, or when you're the manufacturer going, well, how are we gonna say how much torque it is?
Didn't people start weren't people questioning those numbers when the truck companies were coming out with the freaky towing capacity, the
Yes, they
electric
were.
truck in the beginning?
And when EVs started coming out,
Wasn't there some ridiculous number?
yeah, there was like, oh, it's got 1,000 pounds, 2,000 foot pounds of torque. And I'm like, What, how are you measuring that? Like, how are, like, are you putting that on a dyno? How are you doing it? So I mean, when they're, these guys are putting it on the four-wheel automotive dyno, and these are the numbers it's spitting out. So take it for what it is. Like, when you put it, when you test it in the conventional way on the automotive dyno, this thing is putting out an obscene amount of torque, and that's got
Well,
to be
and
contributing significantly to its off the line performance.
well, yeah, and to guys like you and I, when we talk about this electric shit, it seems as if that's been the only thing that we've spoken about that actually made both of us smile, right?
Yeah, when
When
you look at
talking about electric,
from the
right?
performance aspect, for sure, the
Well, but
NSX and
we're the freaking we're the audience. You may be a Ford guy and I may be a Dodge guy. And they may be at certain differing places with the with electricity in the automobile. But as the people that we are who have complained exponentially about where this is being pushed, not necessarily where it's going, to be saying something positive is pretty cool, right? Because I can't ever say that I've had a positive and happy discussion about talking about an electric car. But that's cool as shit,
Yeah,
right?
that's
To
cool.
me.
That's make it's making some power. That thing scoots around.
That reminds me of electric bikes at the drag strips. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. When you see that sumbitch take off, I mean, it's terrifying.
It's funny you mentioned that. I think this weekend in Pomona, Ford is bringing out, and forgive me, I forgot the name of the damn thing, but their electric Cobra Jet. They're like 18 or 1300 horsepower electric Cobra Jet. The drag car. That thing is nuts.
You know, can we back up 2 seconds? Because I can't lie and I can't tell you that I did not bring the subject up to two of the top NASCAR owners and high-ranking officials in NASCAR about electrifying NASCAR in the coming years. And I questioned them about, like, how in God's name can that be a possibility? Looking at the fans with the fans of the are, it's just like the wrestling business, right? The fans drive the business, period, end of story. And if the fans aren't satiated with that sound, you're not going to have them. And so it's just really, I mean, a huge question for me as to what they're thinking about, what they're testing. And is it a possibility that they could actually consider going all electric in NASCAR?
I mean, you have to take a good look at Extreme E, that racing series, Formula E. I mean, Formula E is not exactly IndyCar
But
or
it's
by
so
any means
much different.
41.
It's different though because of the fan base. That's a totally different fan base, and they're there for the same reasons, but I don't know. I'm not going to say NASCAR fans are more passionate, but you know, you got people that will save up for a year that live in a trailer so that they can go to one race with their family, right? So it'll be very interesting to see how this is received. I guarantee you, in a drag setting, in an NHRA setting, it'll be much better received than a NASCAR setting. 1,000%.
This car, because we're showing it now, so it's the Super Cobra Jet 1800. The previous one was the 1400, and this one's 1800 horsepower. They want to see how, and this is going to have to make some noise. It's not going to be completely silent. This is going to make some noise. There's going to be some gear whine. There's going to be some things going on.
You're going to hear a
It'll be
lot. There
interesting.
has to be, right? I mean, you're not going to hear the overpowering engine noise that we're used to, but here's the deal. It's over in a split second,
Yes, or in this case,
right?
8 seconds.
Well, whatever. I mean, it's over in a split second compared to watching a NASCAR race.
You're
The
right.
duration of putting them through the pain of not hearing a V8 motor or whatever the hell it is a short period of time in a dragster, right? So, I
Right.
mean,
Yeah, for sure. This is it. This is going to be interesting to see. This will be kind of cool to see, just to see,
a spectacle.
yeah, kind of and different because NHRA is such a big, loud event that to see this thing move as quickly as it does without the sound is going to be like, wow, how does it do that? It's gonna be kind of cool, kind of interesting to see.
Hey,
But you're
it
right.
might be the only positive I can see. Well, the only positive. One of the positives I can see with electrification and NHRA is that you wouldn't have to strap those gigantic headphones on your baby.
That's true. Yes,
Right?
if you want the quieter version, that could be it. Now, you were out, and I got into this on the podcast last week. Aaron Hagar was here with me. We're doing the podcast, and in my garage is I have a Cybertruck in here right now.
I'm sorry.
A friend brought it over and he wants to sell it. And I said, well, he wanted some help. So, yeah, got it. I drove it a little bit, got to clean it and climb around it and see what I think. And it's interesting. It's not necessarily for me. But you know what though, driving it out of the warehouse here and through the neighborhood past the grade school, all the kids that were outside ran up to the fence, were running along with the Cybertruck and waving and wanted to see it. And so I had no problem just, kind of letting them, stopping and let them look at it and, through the fence. And they're all
It's a great
yelling.
reason to buy one.
It was kind of fun because they wanted to see it. But, it's quick.
Let's do
It's
it.
big, it's about, I would say it's about as long as my F-150 Lightning or any F-150, but it's as wide as a Raptor. And then the angle of that front windshield is so huge that from where you're sitting to the front of the windshield in the dash is massive. Like you could put a huge sheet of plywood in there. You wouldn't, but you could fit like three pizzas and not have them touch each other. It's big. And as the one thing that came up is the guy actually drove it like from Santa Barbara and dropped it off here. And I was like, don't worry about it. Let me clean it up. Cleaning it is not necessarily easy. Like any
No
truck, you
shit.
gotta grab a step stool and whatever. But the
It's the
stainless steel.
fingerprints.
The stainless steel, it's not a painted glossy surface. So, you really gotta grab your sponge and get the bugs off the front. If it was me, I would probably end up wrapping the vehicle. Something, even a mat or a gloss or whatever, I would end up wrapping it.
I saw a black wrapped one
Yeah,
on the way back to the
So
agency.
from the factory, you can get it in the matte black, the matte white. I think there's a rose gold, possibly a couple of another color or something like that. Now, and I saw the black one come out of the Tesla facility over here. It looks like a movie prop car, right? Because it looks kind of like a camera car. But yes, trying to clean the inside of the front windshield is you need like a Swiffer or something on a pole because it's tough and it goes really far down. But anyway, I haven't spent a lot of time in Teslas. I think if you're a Tesla fan, you're going to kind of dig it. I took it to a place nearby where there was Tesla chargers, and then also there was like a rooftop, and I photographed it. And everybody else with a Tesla that didn't own one came over to look at it and wanted had questions about it. One guy actually came up, and he was talking to me for 10 minutes, and he's like, "What's a cool feature?" I was like, "Well, it's got the power tonneau cover." He's like, "I didn't even know it was a pickup truck." And I go, all right. Well, you're not quite the audience for this thing, but it's got a lot of room in the bed of the truck. It's functional as a pickup truck. Obviously, it doesn't have some of the features that we got now with these, multi-functional tailgates and stuff, and a step to get in. It doesn't have any of that. So if you're me, you have to kind of take a running start and dive into the back if you've got anything in the back of that truck. Anyway, it's interesting. If he sells it, if we're able to sell it, I think someone will enjoy it. It's not necessarily my cup of tea, but I got to drive it and it was kind of interesting. And the steering wheel, which is a yoke now, they kind of figured out at low speed, you just turn it, 90 degrees and it'll make the turn. You don't have to go hand over hand with it. And then higher speeds, it loosens up. So that part they've kind of figured out. It still feels a little odd to me to kind of rest your hand on top of a steering wheel when it's flat, not a wheel. So it just takes a little, it's different. It's meant to be different. It's meant to be polarizing, and it definitely gets a lot of looks. But anyway, we have it here and it's kind of interesting. So maybe we'll get it sold.
Prices. So there were three of my buddies, Gage's father. I don't know if it's Manheim, the big auctions. Three of them ran through in the last 2 weeks, and the price went down 40 or no, 20% in 2 weeks. They're still selling,
Well,
but.
they're in the aftermarket now. There's supposed to be a rule that you can't really sell it, and Tesla's going to just say you can't be able to buy another Tesla. And some people are fine. Like, somebody ordered three of them with the intention of reselling them, and Tesla got pissed and were like, "We're canceling your orders. You're not supposed to do that." Fair enough. But it is what it is, and they're still trading for significantly more than the sticker price, but we'll see for how long. So if you really want to get one now, there's a few for sale. There's one on Cars and Bids. There's a few on Car Gurus. There's one
There are a
here.
lot for sale. There are a number of them out here.
And they're popping up on consignment on dealers and stuff. Or if you want to order it and wait, then you order it and wait. But if you want one now, there's a few that you can get to. And there's one here in LA, obviously right next to me, which I'd ha happy to sell it so we can get it out of my place and make room for other stuff, because it's a big lump sitting in here. But I get it. All right, listen, I think we're kind of running out of time. Is there anything else we're missing?
Oh God, I'm having coming up on Goldberg's Garage. I'm doing some Magnaflow exhaust installs.
Cool.
I'm doing the 70 Coronet 6-pack car, and I'm probably gonna race. I have two good episodes, racing episodes coming up. I got my jacked up TRX versus some freaking dooley Ford 750 horsepower diesel truck, and I need to know about that thing before I have to race it. And then I have a military, well, I have the Willys versus a diesel dually that one of my buddy owns that you've seen on my webs or my Instagram account before. I can't mention anything else about it, but it's going to be an absolutely ridiculous race, but you have to tune in and see it
All
to
right.
really see
Yeah.
how
Lots of
ridiculous.
content coming up on Goldberg's Garage, the YouTube channel. You guys be cranking
Man.
out videos, man. There's a lot of work.
Yeah, believe me, it's fun though. We're having a good time with it. And like I said,
Good.
our buddy Richard from Magnaflow has jumped on board, and we're going to do some interesting installs. It's going to be fun.
Is
Some
Richard coming out?
veteran stuff. Yeah, eventually, one of these days.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll have him on. He'll be doing the exhaust on the Cobra. So,
Yeah, that's looking good. I saw the body come back from paint.
yeah, with 32 spots that had to be sanded prior to the PPF coming over it. But yeah, I had a little bit of an issue there, but
there's
hey, man,
projects.
exactly.
That's how these work.
Always comes up.
All right, buddy, thanks so much. And then we'll do it again next week. Until next time, keep the air and the spare. Bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.